live righteously.
Time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's episode 68. We're going to be visiting with the Sharinians. It's a power Mormon couple. That's coming up in the second and third block.
What do they do?
They, everything. They kind of own the world.
Really?
Yeah.
They're like that couple?
They're that couple that you're like, and you have kids, and you're able, they were also I'm a Mormon, one of the original I'm a Mormon couples.
Okay.
He works with the United Nations.
Oh.
Not the United Nations, but like a foundation, the United Nations Foundation,
right.
I believe is actually what it's called.
Like one of those couples you want to hate because they're so perfect, but you never could because they're amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
And because they'd love you into not hating them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, so frustrating.
So that's coming up in the second and the third block here of the Cultural Hall. But right now, I want to talk to Lindsay. Hey, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And it's the Cultural Hall. Find us, please. If you won't, then just turn this off because we're going to need your participation.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us on Twitter. Michael, our Twitter guy, is hilarious.
He is.
My favorite, one of the tweets that he's done recently is talking about, let me find it if I can real quick. He sent it out on Thanksgiving, and the gist of it was, I'll just share you the gist of it. It was something like, remember that everyone is God's children when you're elbowing them to get the new Blu-ray, you know, at 50% off or something
right,
like that. Remember?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty funny. And he does some other great stuff, too. So follow us at The Cultural Hall on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, The Cultural Hall. And you can find us on Pinterest, which the ladies love.
Oh, my gosh. I'm obsessed with the Pinterest lately.
Do you follow the Pinterest page for The Cultural Hall?
I need to
Shame
get
on you.
I need to get on that. I just barely jumped on the Twitter train. But the Pinterest, so my siblings and I decided we're going to make crafts for Christmas this year. We're going to make each other gifts.
Yeah, is that good?
Buying gifts.
Is that a good idea?
Well, Pinterest is a great idea. I made some clay jewelry.
Really?
You just like get
is
like polymer clay and then you bake it in the oven and you like
sculpt
it. Is
that good though? Would you like made jewelry like that?
No, or
is
it just it's cool terrible it's looking. Homemade? Like, yeah, but it's just cool because I put the time and energy into it.
Do you put like their name?
Put their
scratch
initials.
Their names with pins?
With my nail.
Really?
No, I didn't do
that.
No,
what did you make?
I made some jewelry. I made
And
like,
does it look
necklaces.
All right though?
Yeah, it's decent.
Yeah,
I mean,
great.
I don't really have the crafting skills. Like this time of the year, I get really crafty because last year I got obsessed with making homemade Christmas decorations and just doing Martha Stewart style. But I don't know. That's
Did
why
they turn
Pinterest
out
is
well.
Great.
That's the problem I have with a lot of stuff like that. Like baking is perfect.
Yeah.
Because if I don't like it, I'll eat it and start again.
Yeah. And even if it looks terrible, if it tastes delicious, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
But
My jewelry kind of looks terrible. Some of my Christmas decorations are okay. I saved them from last year and I have yet to pull them out. So I'll have to see how they held up over the year. So.
Do you do gifts for your neighbors? Do you do that stuff?
See, I'm not that neighbor.
No?
I want to be, but I don't know. I've been really into baking lately too. So maybe I'll.
Like what? What have
stuff.
You made?
Well, my oven was broken for like the first 3 months I lived in my house.
Hard to bake.
So I finally fixed it with my bare hands, like rolled up the sleeves, like on the ground, unscrewing the baking element from the back, like unhooking everything and then re-screwing everything back together, like total man's job, but did it myself. And I was really
Where
proud.
Was your husband in all this?
Working.
Okay.
Earning the dollars.
Yeah. To buy new heating elements?
Yeah. To buy the heating element.
Babe,
and
can you work a little harder? We need a new heating element. Perfect.
Yeah. So I fixed the oven myself. And since then, I've been obsessed with using my oven. So I've baked just anything.
Come on. Top three. What is it? What do you got? What's your thing? Signature Lindsay is her.
I don't even have a signature. Just, oh,
What's
my
your favorite
husband,
thing to make?
My husband's applesauce cookies are delicious.
You make your husband's applesauce cookies?
Uh-huh. You use applesauce as opposed to like oils or anything like that.
That so seems to make sense.
I like to pretend they're a little bit healthier.
Which they're not,
but
really.
But they're not at all.
Tons
but
of sugar.
They're
tons
more,
of white flour.
They're more cakey-like than doughy.
Oh, see, cookies aren't supposed to be like that.
I know, but that's what my husband loves, so that's what I make. And they're
he likes
really
the
good.
Cake cookie?
Yeah, he likes the cake cookie.
The cakey?
Mm-hmm.
Or the cookie?
Cake? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. He likes
I can't
those.
Stand those. I don't like them.
Really?
Any kind. Like everyone always likes the pumpkin spice chocolate chip, right?
Right.
That was the big thing.
Yeah.
Hate them.
Hmm.
My wife makes a phenomenal banana chocolate chip cookie,
Ooh.
Cake cookie.
Okay.
Terrible.
Really?
I hate cake. If I want cake, I'll eat a piece of cake.
Right.
I want a cookie. I want it to crunch. I want to be able to stick it in milk and not have sponge full of milk.
Yeah, I'm the same way with you. I like mine a little more doughy, like the Pillsbury just straight from the package.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, those are great.
I'm exploring into fudge this Christmas.
Really? Yeah. How's that going?
Well, I haven't started. Well, here's how far I've gotten. I was at the Harmon's, which is a grocery store here in Utah. And I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to buy gifts for neighbors. Because last year, we kind of kept to ourselves. Our neighborhood really shuts down in the wintertime because it's always windy. We're out by the point of the mountain. And the wind, seriously, is always blowing at least 10 miles an hour. They have like windmills, wind farms out there to make electricity because it's always that windy. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to be that neighbor. I don't want to be like Lindsay this year. I'm going to be different.
I'm going to be good at life.
So I was like, you know what I'll do? I'm gonna buy a gift. So I was at the Harmon's and I found these tins, right? That are kind of like they're like what you see in the movies where kids keep the old baseball card that their dad, who's now dead, or parents are divorced, you know, in the postcard, and he cries over it, and it's one of those kind of tins. And they have Christmas decorations on it, and I got 8 of them, so I'm gonna be neighborly to 8 people.
Wow.
Yeah, but I'm gonna put fudge in them.
So you're gonna make said fudge.
Yeah. And then cut it and then do 2 layers. So you have the wax paper layer.
Right.
And then seal it with a little story. And I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. This is intense. My grandma.
Really excited.
My grandma, who used to teach theater, has a story about a kid in a Christmas program from years and years ago. I'm going to get that story, read said story, put it onto a CD, put the CD in an envelope, put it on top of the fudge, 2 layers of fudge in the tin, share it with 8 people.
Okay. So they're like an audio gift.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, eat the fudge while you listen to this.
Right. So do you have a recipe for the fudge?
No, I don't. So if people have recipes, they can go to theculturalhall.com, contact us, and share their recipe. And I'll pass it along with other people.
Yeah.
I'm going to get Joni, who does the refreshment blog for us, to give a suggestion of 1 or 2 fudge ideas.
Mm.
I've made it before. And it was okay.
Just don't do mint fudge, please.
No,
I
not
don't
a mint
like
fudge?
The mint. I don't like the mint.
What if it's a layer of mint?
No, I don't like any of the mint flavor. I like just either chocolate or peanut butter. You can do peanut butter.
Yeah.
Just no mint.
No mint. Uh-uh. You don't. But I love the mint.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
But normally with the mint, you have to do the dark chocolate, which I don't love the dark chocolate.
Right. So we're at an impasse now.
Yeah. So what do I do? I think I'm just going to not try and be fancy.
Yeah.
And just straight chocolate fudge.
Straight up fudge. You really can't go wrong.
Yeah.
For sure. And my other problem with the holidays, speaking of all this baking and stuff, is that there's always so much junk food to eat.
Right.
And I would love to give gifts that like don't like encourage said junk food, because I will eat all of it. You know, and I would love someone to just give me peaches
apple
or
slices?
Bananas. Yeah.
Hey, Lindsay, Merry Christmas. Here's some apple slices.
These will go bad in 2 seconds. So I understand why people don't give them as gifts, but I just feel like whenever I love to do stuff for people, but whenever I give treats like that, it's just like, oh, now you have to deal with whether or not you're going to eat this or not. Sorry. You know what I'm saying?
Like the burden? The burden of your gift?
Yeah. Just one more junk food to have in the house.
Do you ever do the lame things for Christmas?
Like what?
Like the may your holidays be Sprite and give them a 2 liter of Sprite.
That's
awesome. And a candy cane with little reindeer eyes on it.
Please write me a list of those so I can
do that.
Do
you not know about all those?
No.
Oh, and then there's there's one where you make like a toothpick or, you know, the tongue depressors.
Okay.
And you make a little reindeer and then you give them a thing of Milk Duds and call it reindeer poops.
That's really cute.
I don't know. It's weird.
No, I like that though. Because any like cheap, not expensive, like just, you know, a little bit of time into a gift, I'm all about. Because I would rather.
Anything cheap, I'm all about.
I'm all about
anything without effort, that's me.
No, a little bit of time into a simple gift, I'm okay with.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I'll probably end up, if I do neighbor gifts, I'll end up baking junk for them, which is pretty much all there is to bake. I don't know how you bake anything relatively
healthy. Well,
you put
applesauce in it, makes it better.
Applesauce as opposed to oils. Does
so
work.
Much healthier.
It does
so
work.
So much healthier. So much better
Shut
for
up.
You.
It works.
I don't know what I want. I don't know.
I think the fudge is a good idea, though.
The hardest thing about it, though, is then, so I have 8, right? So which 8 people do I give it
you
to?
You have more than 8 neighbors? You have 4 sides of your house.
Well, I got the home teacher.
Oh.
Right? And then I got the neighbors to the north who always bring me stuff, so they're going to get one.
Right.
Then I got the neighbors across the street who always take care of the house, right? Okay. And then I got the neighbors to the other side who are good people, who we used to hang out a bunch, but we don't anymore because it's wintertime, so
and
we're never outside.
You got the people that you actually like.
Right.
That you want to give a gift to.
Right, but see, then it gets awkward because then it's like, hey, you know, I know like the one people who aren't neighbors but are in the ward, if we give them a gift, he'll come up to me and say, oh, yeah, hey, thanks for the gift. And then all the people who I also talk to at church will be like, hey, where was my gift,
pal? I didn't get a gift.
Yeah, where was my gift?
What's the deal?
So do you keep it quiet? Do you not give that person a gift to sacrifice for the other gifts that you don't want to give? Or do you just buy more? Because I don't know if I can get any more of these tins.
I know. That's a tough call, man, because you want to give everyone gifts. And if we could all give
if
everyone gifts.
If I could give the world a gift.
We would.
I'd buy them all a Coke.
Oh, it's really nice.
Do you remember
that?
We
should be on a commercial.
Oh, good idea. Mm. You did know.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you were going to pick it up.
I got
it. It's a little older than you.
Yeah, a little bit.
Not too much.
But yeah, I mean, I think you should make gifts for as many people as you want to make gifts for. And you shouldn't have to worry about
or feel bad about it.
Yeah.
But do you have the reserve gift? Do you do that?
Like the standard go-to or
like
what?
Hey, neighbors from down the street that came by that we didn't think were going to come by brought us a gift. Do you have the standby gift?
I totally have something for you. Yeah, it's right back here. Let me get it.
Do you have something?
I don't usually do that. But again, I'm not the neighbor gift giver. So
my wife has a Rubbermaid full of stuff
really?
In the basement.
That's genius,
yeah.
though.
It's like there's a couple of things from our wedding that are in there that we were like, this is perfectly good. It's just not us.
I did.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and I did do that with wedding invitations. Like when you go to get married and you're like, oh, I totally have your invitation. It's in the car. Let me go get it. And then you just write their name on it really quick. Yeah. And I've gotten those too. And I just, whatever. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. But she has a complete Rubbermaid full of things where it's like, there's like different tiers of gifts. So you can be like, oh, that's a pretty nice gift they gave us. What would I get in the $25 range? Oh, here you go. We've got this frame for you.
I've never met your wife, but that's genius.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
That's great.
And then when she's got the lotions, you know, like Bed Bath & Beyond, was it Bath & Body Works does their big lotion things.
Yeah.
We buy a bunch because lotion is always like, hey, we're thinking about you.
And soaps too. You can always talk up on the hand soap. Like, hey, everyone washes their hands.
But I wish for Christmas they had the same thing like they do for Halloween. You've seen this where they put like the boo ghost in the window like we've already been gotten. Have you ever seen that before?
No.
They do it in neighborhoods. Do you live in an apartment or in a house?
In a house.
So like they do, I don't know. They do. Have you ever seen this, Bob? The treat, right? You bring a treat bucket and then once you get treat bucketed, then you put something in your window and then you treat bucket someone else. It's kind of like a pay it forward thing.
Okay.
I wish they did that for Christmas.
Really? Yeah, that's a good
idea.
Had
Christmas already.
Somebody gave me something.
Thanks, we're fine. Keep your Sprites.
Yeah.
Keep your reindeer turds.
Keep your fudge. We're good.
No, they'd take my fudge.
They would take the fudge. The fudge is great.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to Christmas. I'm actually all done with Christmas shopping.
Really?
Yeah, all my family, all my brothers and sisters, cousins, all that stuff, done. Wife, all I have to do is pay for it. I already know what I'm getting her.
Okay.
And that's done.
Did you go out and get everything or did you do it all online?
No. I don't really do it online.
Really?
Yeah. But in fairness, I got my family all tickets to the theater show that I'm in and then I buy them dinner. So they come. It's cool. It's a tradition.
Yeah, what if they don't? That's not what they really want.
I don't care.
Okay.
It's I'm buying them family time together.
Okay.
So they come and watch a show, which is important to me. And they don't ever come any other time of the year.
True.
Because some of them can't afford it.
Right.
So they come. I give them dinner. And then we visit for a little bit afterwards. And then that's the tradition
do
there.
Do you do the gift cards or you like make dinner?
No. They buy dinner. I buy dinner for them at the theater.
At the
so
show.
They get a pizza or whatever.
Okay.
And then my wife, I got her a fireplace.
Oh.
I got her a kayak and I got her a fireplace.
Whoa.
Right?
Those are big gifts.
Yeah, the kayak was on sale for Black Friday.
There you go.
But then the fireplace is a stone, you know, mismatched shape and stone.
Okay, and this like just attaches in your, it's like a out of the wall fireplace, right?
Yeah.
Like a gas fireplace.
Yeah, we've already got the fireplace there now.
Okay.
She just wants it different.
Ah.
So we're going to do stone and all that.
Cool.
Going to have a guy come and do it.
You got a guy?
I got a guy.
That's cool.
Is that cool?
That's
really
cool.
I think it's lame.
If she wants it, it'll be cool.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, I'd rather get you something cooler than this, but she's like, this is what I really want.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's like today I ordered my husband a sound bar off Amazon.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it's like you hook it up to your TV and it projects the sound like forward. You know what I mean? Like it basically amplifies the sound and it has a subwoofer in it and surround mm-hmm. sound kind uh-huh. of thing. It was really inexpensive. But our TV is in kind of an open room and it doesn't have a wall to its back, mm-hmm. so the sound doesn't bounce off the wall and come forward.
Okay.
It goes backwards, so you have to turn it up pretty loud.
Right.
So with the sound bar, the sound will then project forward.
That's really lame.
I know, but that's what he really wanted. Yeah, that and slippers.
He wants slippers?
Yeah, he's got this pair of house slippers that are now falling apart, so I took notice and I will be getting some slippers.
Hubby, I'll be getting your new slippers.
He loves his house shoes.
Really?
Yeah. They're comfy.
Does he call them house shoes?
Yeah, they're like house shoes. He just wears them around the house.
How old is your husband?
He's younger than me. He sounds like an old man,
get
huh?
Get me a smoking jacket as well for my home.
Yeah. Love his house
what
shoes.
What about you? What's the big thing you want this year?
You know what?
What's the thing that'll make you happy? What's your fireplace?
I don't really have a fireplace.
Stop it.
No, I'm serious. There's nothing like I... Like, I always just love clothes and stupid
lame.
Stuff like that.
Boring.
I know, but there's nothing, like, big that I want. And frankly, I really don't want my husband to spend a ton of money on me, so...
Because all you got him was a sound bar?
Yeah.
Listen, don't spend very much money on me.
And I cheaped out on the sound bar, yeah. too. Listen, there's nothing I really need. $50, that's
yeah.
it. That's
Listen,
all you get.
The sound bar was 40, so
yeah.
go 60 on me. We'll be fine.
No, if my husband puts any sort of thought into it, I'm sure I've said, like, oh, this would be cool to
is
have.
Is he good? Is he a good gift
he
giver?
He really is. He's good at listening. And even when he doesn't get it quite right, he tries really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah.
There's merit in that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I always feel like I just blow it. So
really?
Anymore, I just go, what do you want?
Yeah.
Like I used to surprise and I try and do like one thing as a surprise, like the kayaks, hopefully. Surprise.
Well, I was going to ask, where do you hide the kayak? That's kind
of a... They're in the basement underneath the big roll of carpet.
Okay.
There's one for me, one for my kid, and one for my wife.
Oh, nice.
They're massive under a huge roll of carpet in the basement.
That'll be so fun to come down Christmas morning though and have the huge kayaks. Yeah.
Yeah.
How
hoping...
did Santa get these in the house?
He's 14. My kid's like... Where'd you get them?
Yeah.
I didn't want a kayak. Then I got my kid a bank account.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you put money in it?
Yeah, a little.
Oh, good.
Not much.
Okay.
He can do that himself.
Yeah. You just opened it.
I'm that guy, though, with kid gifts. I'm the worst.
Like plan for the future kid gifts?
No, I'm like here's a responsible gift.
Oh, yeah.
Like your mom will get you something ridiculous that you don't need that in 2 years you'll wish that you hadn't got because you didn't use it as much as you thought. I'll get you something that will teach you a lesson and you'll go, great, I got a lesson for Christmas.
Great, I got a freaking bank account.
Yeah.
Thanks,
I got a
Dad.
Financial lesson. Awesome. Great.
That's funny.
But he's going to get the debit card and the whole deal.
Ooh,
we're going the big deal.
Plastic.
Right?
It's dangerous.
It's the worst mistake ever.
Yeah, at 14?
He'll be 15. That's when I got mine.
Okay, all right.
And like,
is he driving yet? Does he have his permit?
No.
Just like around the neighborhood?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Not at all.
So
I let him back out at the car wash about 3 or 4 months ago.
Really?
It scared the crap out of me and I let him pull up his mom's car and he almost nailed his grandparents' garage. Like literally could not have been closer without hitting the garage.
So you'll know anytime he uses plastic because he'll be like, Dad, can you take me to the mall?
Yeah, and he'd be Richie. He doesn't call me Dad.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks for that.
Richie.
That's cool.
Awkward.
That's not sensitive.
Sorry.
No, that's cool. Don't worry about
that.
It. That's why I get him a bank account. He doesn't realize if he just called me Dad, the world would open up. But where it's
know.
Like Richie, it's like, okay, cool, dude.
One day it's going to open up. It's
no.
just going to be like,
no.
yeah, it's going to be like randomly, like you're like watching TV and it's like, hey, Dad, pass the popcorn.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
And you're going to be like, huh?
Too old.
You know those,
too old to begin the training.
You know those commercials where it's like, I think it's like a shoe wear commercial and the banner pops down on the confetti and it's like, perfect mom moment. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like, even though they failed miserably at getting
sure.
whatever it was. It's going to be like that.
Now, there will be moments where he'll be like, hey, you did a good job. That I fully guarantee. But he'll never be like, Dad. It will always be Richie.
But maybe looking back 20 years from now, he'll be like, oh, yeah, my dad did this in referring to you.
Okay. I'll give him that.
Okay.
And occasionally he does, just because I think it saves him the explanation with his friends.
Right.
We're like, hey, kid.
Yeah.
Your dad's here. Oh, okay. Like
yeah.
he won't correct him
right.
at that point.
Or if he's telling a story, he'll be like, yeah, and then my dad did this
yeah.
kind of thing.
But he would never be like, Dad. In fact, every night when he tells his wife, my wife, that he loves her, I'm like, why don't you tell me you love me? When are you going to tell me you love me? He's like, that's
maybe
weird.
Maybe because you make it so awkward for
right.
him. He doesn't want to do it just because he knows.
Yeah.
He knows it'll mean the world to you.
Yeah. He gave me a hug for Father's Day this year.
Really?
Yeah, it was a big deal.
So great.
But he didn't call me dad.
I'm really sorry.
Tell me you love me. That's seriously like the last thing I say every night before I go to bed. Tell me you love me. But you know, that's weird.
You know in his head he's saying, I love you. No, I won't do it. I love you.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
And that's great.
That's awesome. You're such an evil dictator father.
Tell me you love me. Never. He never will. But yeah, so I'm that guy, getting him the responsible gift.
That's good, though.
I don't know.
It's good. It's good for the future.
I think he'll be impressed that he has the plastic, the card. He'll be like, this is cool.
Check this out.
And then he'll start doing the overdrafting, and it'll be like, let's talk about how you're ruining your stepdad's credit score.
Yeah.
Because I'll have to be on the account with him.
Oh,
my
right.
wife refuses to do it.
Really?
Yeah, she's like, that's stupid. Why would you do that?
Again, I'm
like,
she's he needs a genius.
To. Like, he needs to start managing, you know, how he's doing
Does
this.
Does he get an allowance, or?
Kind of. Yeah. Once he can have a job, it cuts off.
Right.
It's like, if you can work and have money, then I'm not paying you, you know, $10 to not do anything.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So what does he do now to earn money?
He takes care of the dog.
There you go.
Takes care of the dog. Takes care of his bathroom. Mm-hmm. Takes care of his room. Not much.
And then do you teach him like, okay, you have 100 pennies. You take 10 of those pennies. And you give 10%
to the
church.
How many is this money's? What's this money's worth?
Do you teach him about tithing?
Yeah.
Okay.
He knows.
All right, good.
He knows all about it.
Just making sure. Because that's the next lesson after the debit card.
We go, yoink, church. Church will take this.
Church takes this. The rest goes to your bank account.
No, actually, I was going to get him a lawnmower for Christmas.
Yeah.
Because he has a best friend. The best friend and I are going to open up a lawn mowing business next summer. And we've said, hey, do you want to do it to my kid? Nah, I don't want to do that.
Wait, this is your best friend?
No, my kid's best friend.
Oh, so you've said this to him?
So me and my kid's best friend are going to have a lawn mowing business. We're like, hey, you want in? He's like, nope.
Really?
Like, that's fine. We're going to make lots of money mowing people's lawns.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get any of it.
There's a lot of people that will pay for that.
Right.
Just the not having to deal with it.
But how big of a depressing gift would that be? Here, kid, here's a lawnmower
that's
for Christmas.
That's like giving me a bowling ball. Yeah. Like, what am I going to do with a bowling ball?
Homer. well, cool. So more Christmas tales to come as all this stuff kind of develops.
You know what we are doing for Christmas this year?
Tell me.
Did I tell you that we're not buying gifts?
No.
Well, I told you we're making
gifts for
each other.
Yeah, for your siblings.
But then instead of buying gifts for each other, we're taking like $20 each of us. So we have four kids in my family, and then I'm married, and then my sister has a longtime boyfriend. So we'll take those two as well, and we'll just take all that cash and buy like dinner for like a family in need.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we're gonna like go shopping on Christmas Eve and then cook it together and then go drop it off for a family.
Cool. How are you gonna find where the family?
My brother's got a family back in Maine where I'm from that I guess has been struggling, and he's worked with them.
Oh,
through.
So you're going back to Maine for
Christmas?
Yeah,
I'll be in Maine for Christmas. Yeah.
Cool.
East Coast
Christmas.
Send
us a video for Christmas?
Yeah.
We'll put it up on theculturalhall.com. Really?
If it's cold enough, we'll go skating on the pond. And we play, my whole family played hockey growing up. So this is like New England style pond hockey, like the dogs out there chasing the puck. Like it's quintessential East Coast.
Promise me if it's cold enough. Pinky,
I will. Pinky.
Right here.
Pinky promised.
All right. Coming back in the second and third block, we're visiting with the Shrinians. It's more of a power couple. You're going to love it, and it's going to make you sick all together. That's coming back in the second and third block.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5576 to book your shoot today.
Hey, it's me, Richie T. Want to take a second and tell you about my buddy Dylan over at Lennon Design. Go to LennonDesign.com to see some of the stuff that he's done. Or, you know what, better yet, go to theculturalhall.com and look at all the graphic stuff that we have there at that website. You know who's done that? Dylan at Lennon Design. He's offering a special deal for people in the Cultural Hall, a 10% discount. You know why it's 10%, right? And all you have to do is just give him a call, 801-699-3022. Any sort of graphic artwork or website design that you might need. Give them a call. Think about Lennon Design. You know, they sponsor your favorite podcast.
That's right. It is the second block of the Cultural Hall. And here joining us kind of in a remote location, it's backstage at the Desert Star Theater, which is one of my four. Mm-hmm. We'll call it four right now. It's Aaron and Emily Sherinian, who literally got off a plane, hopped into their Cadillac,
and
came here to the Desert Star Theater. Welcome to the Cultural Hall. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And so the introduction that I got to you guys was, there's these two amazing people that you need to get in the Cultural Hall. And I said, okay. Kind of thinking that Molly Mormon, who introduced me to you guys, was, you know, everyone's amazing, everyone's precious, everyone's, you know,
special. Snowflake.
Yes, exactly. And then I went to the I'm a Mormon and watched your guys' video. And let me see if I get all this right. So you are the PR person for the United Nations Foundation.
Bravo.
And I'll ask you what that is in just a second. And then you, Emily, are a, let me see if I get this right.
Global.
Public. This is like my testimony. Help me out here.
Health. Advocate.
No.
No.
I love those kids that always fight. That always fight back with their parents.
I don't know that.
Okay, so let's get it right then. Global.
Public.
Health.
Advocate.
Okay.
You got it.
And so I want to know what both of those things are. First, we'll go ladies first. What is a global public health advocate?
That's a great question. I ask myself the same one sometimes. I work in international development and health, and so the end game of that is to improve the health of people all over the world, particularly people who suffer from poverty or don't have access to the same types of services that we do. So I work for a nonprofit organization, and most of the work I do is in Eastern and Northern Africa.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I work with HIV, AIDS, TB, tuberculosis, malaria prevention.
Yeah, you're going to have to dumb it down for me. I'm here going.
Yeah, no acronyms.
I'm still
here.
Back on global. So that means like the world, right? And then the PR person for the United Nations Foundation. That's different than just the United Nations.
Different, but part of the same team. What we do is we help people who want to get involved with global issues, but didn't know how to do it. You know, they want to make a difference in their world, but think, hey, it's just me. I just live in suburban town X in the U.S. How can I have an impact on kids who want to have a healthy life or reducing poverty or getting to the big issues that are facing the world? So we build these campaigns and these initiatives where it makes it easy for someone, maybe starting online, maybe donating their voice, maybe talking to friends, but so they can actually have a part in the dialogue around the biggest issues of the world.
Like what?
Well, I'll tell you a story. So
please.
Hold
on.
Let me tell you a story.
Go ahead.
So the just a couple of weeks ago was the UN General Assembly. When that big meeting, when about a lot of fancy people in fancy cars, our world's leaders, you know, important people, come together to New York in that huge hall in the United Nations to discuss the world's problems. And what we do is we bring people together who say, you know what, actually, I'm not going to pretend like I understand all these things. I'm not elected to this office, but I can have an impact and I can do something. So we brought together just a couple of weeks ago some people who decided we're going to talk about polio, a disease that no one's been talking about here in the U.S. because we got rid of it.
Yeah.
But in the world, there are a couple of countries where it's still killing people and there's no reason because we've got vaccines and we have ways to deal with those issues. Mm-hmm. And we just need to get them to the right people. So because those people came together, it got on the agenda of the world leaders, and they made motions, they made moves, they made big decisions that are going to actually get rid of that disease. So there are people like us, normal folk, if you will, who can actually get into the ears of the world's leaders. And so that's what we try to do.
That's pretty awesome.
It's a great thing because we live in a time right now where just a couple of years ago, you couldn't do any of this. No one knew how to get involved. And right now, whether you're talking about Tahrir Square in Egypt or the Desert Star Theater in Salt Lake, I'm sorry, Murray, let me get the geography right. Wherever you are, everyone's got the chance right now. It's just how you mobilize and how you can articulate.
How, Emily, did you get into what you're doing? What made you want to do this?
By accident, actually.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens.
Yeah. I started off super nerdy. I was a linguistics major in college. Yeah. Nerds rule the world, though.
Okay. Point.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Point taken. So I...
At BYU?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
The Lord's University?
Absolutely.
The BYU, right?
The BYU, yes.
We were at the BYU at the same time, and we never met, but that's a different story for
day. No, we'll get there.
Oh. So, but I'd always been raised with you know, other languages and cultures at home. My dad always spoke Spanish to us when we were little.
Did he serve a mission, Spanish
speaking? He did, which we thought was so nerdy.
Where did he go?
He was in Uruguay.
Come here, sit on my lap, and I'll tell you a story in Spanish you won't understand about my mission. That kind of stuff?
Well, no, and we understood it. That was the cool thing.
You're like, gracias, por favor.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was command performance. You know, you'd go to the Spanish branch on Sunday to play the piano for primary or whatever, and all of the little old ladies would just kiss you, and you'd have big red lipstick marks on your face because you spoke Spanish, sure. And they thought it was great. So good feedback. So I spoke Spanish and served also a Spanish-speaking mission.
Where did you serve?
Fresno, California.
Yeah,
the
there
Lord's
you go.
Vineyard.
There it is.
Yes, it is.
There it is.
Yeah.
Fresno's not that nice, is it?
No.
Okay.
Fresno is beautiful.
No
Let me
offense.
Just say it's a beautiful place.
But the city at the time when I was there, because I'm an old lady, wasn't so great at the time. But now it's much better.
How old are you?
Old.
No, come on. How old
Richie.
Are you?
I will tell you that I am under 40.
Richie.
Yeah, see, so that's
yeah.
not old.
Please. Yeah.
So
but you should never ask me that.
So in the most polite way, shut up.
Oh, Richie.
What she was going to ask you, Richie, was how to pronounce the new temple in Peru, because I heard you pronounce it last week.
Oh, it was Arequipa.
Arequipa. Arequipa. Arequipa. Doesn't it sound good? It sounds like something you should be spreading on bread, like dulce de leche. Yeah.
I can say Tucson.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Tucson.
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 So
back to the
story.
Okay,
linguistics.
Yeah. So always had an interest in internet. I was an exchange student in high school in Argentina.
Really?
So, yeah.
6 months or a year?
Summer. So
summer, okay.
3.5 months.
Parents' idea or your idea?
Both.
I would love to go and have the opportunity, Father.
I did. Okay. I did. My father charged me with researching it, and both my parents were super supportive. It was great.
What city in Argentina?
Just outside of Córdoba, Argentina.
Okay, sure.
A little small town.
Yeah. What's it called?
Santiago del Estero.
Oh, yeah. It's just outside of Cordoba, right?
Stupid. You know it.
Perfect. Yeah.
So, with all that said...
Was it a Mormon family? I'm curious.
Oh, no.
No?
No,
did you have a chance to share the gospel with the people that you stayed with?
A little bit.
Is that taboo? Do you not do that? It's like, let them share your religion with them, but you don't get to share your religion with them.
I did go to Catholic school while I was there, which was pretty ironic.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was some exchange. But yeah. I did go to church... The missionaries thought it was hilarious that I was there, and, you know, it was hilarious. So I had all this interest in international things and graduated from BYU, went back to New York. I worked for a company in their Latin America division, got to speak Spanish all the time, and then got set up with this handsome devil who's sitting next to me. And was joining the Foreign Service.
Well,
which
was
that
was
the
fanning
State
yourself?
Department.
Yeah. All yeah. Of yeah. Was fanning
yourself. Yeah. It got hot. Warmer.
Yeah.
And at first I thought he said Forest Service. And I thought, you don't look that outdoorsy to me.
And where's your hat?
Yeah. And don't you wear green a lot? And
and green isn't your color, pal. No, blue.
Colorblind, can't even see green.
Really?
This one.
Is that true, Aaron?
Can't do it. No, can't
Aren't
do it.
Aren't we fascinating?
But this
fascinating.
Week I'm going to tell people.
No.
Yeah, actually, but because we're in the middle of an election, I'm going to say I'm colorblind. I don't see red, and it's
blue.
Everything's purple. How's that?
Yeah,
it's
let's
all sing.
How did you met?
So,
but how did that? How
so we met. Okay, that's going to be a whole.
So I don't
story.
Know if the second block has this much time.
I don't either.
The bottom line is. We are not supposed to gossip in the church. We're taught that gossip is bad. We all saw that Mormon ad when we were passing the mud.
With the tar.
It's exactly.
The tar. You don't
pass it. The tar.
It sticks to you.
Molly's still got tar in her
nails
somewhere. She's
over there. Gosh.
But we are proof of the fact that every now and then it works, because this rumor got out. We love telling our story. By the way, we will be here for 4 hours.
Oh, please.
So we...
I'm sure that United Nations thing is fascinating, but I want to know how about you guys met.
Exactly. So we essentially... This rumor got out. We were both with wonderful people, if they're listening, which they are. We love them. And this rumor got out that I was engaged to Emily. And I'd never met Emily. I went home for Christmas, and this rumor got out. You know, we all live in tight circles in the church, and we all know each other, and people know people who know us.
6 degrees of Mormon.
Exactly. And within those degrees, people were reacting with such fervor. I mean, excitement. And it wasn't just that excitement of, it finally happened to you because you're such a desperate schmuck. We're happy for you. It wasn't that even. It was
the menace to society.
Yeah, it wasn't even the menace thing. It was, why? I will never forgive myself for not introducing you to Emily earlier. And I went to a wedding, and the classic beautiful wedding, wonderful mother of the groom in her crepe dress, you know, with the flowers behind her, the whole scene. And she embraces me, and she's weeping, and she says, this is going to be a great marriage. And I realized right then, I got to meet this woman. This is the best focus group ever because all my friends think we're getting married. So
oh, she's
rumors
great.
Every now and then help out.
So
tar and everything.
So then
we
what?
We got married. We went overseas because he had joined the Foreign Service.
No, hold on. We'd never met and then we got married. Doesn't work out for me.
We found one another.
How did that work out?
You know, Washington, D.C., the nation's capital where nothing gets done.
Uh-huh.
Gridlock in Capitol Hill, but there was love.
Yeah. So it was I want to literally know. So it was like, hey, you know, people are talking. I think that it's going to work out.
Was it a friend who said, I know both of you? And was her name Stephanie? I mean,
so good. It's so weird. Molly knows everything.
You know Steph Waite.
Again, with the small circles.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
I'm a blogger, you know?
Yeah.
People know each other.
We do. We know each other. We know of each other. And we know when people write about
Steph's
setting people up.
Older brother was Aaron's roommate at BYU.
Okay.
And she was the catalyst that made all these rumors come together as one. And she attended our first date with us.
Hmm.
She did, because what's a first date without a third wheel?
So she was just there as a third wheel.
She was with us.
Was
it was
there.
Great.
Good people. And I think, I don't know if this is about every culture, our culture, etc. But you know, when you're away from home and a brother calls you up, a brother of yours and a brother of this woman, and says, take care of my little sis. She's in town. She doesn't know anybody. It was that situation.
Uh-huh.
And she's the little sister you always wanted.
Yeah.
Great person. And so she took care of us.
Hmm.
And because of that, we met.
And that was it. It was like, man, we're done. Yep.
He literally says, while we're on the phone, our first conversation, well, I'd love to take you out while you're in D.C. next week for work. Why don't you bring a black dress and save me a night? And I'm thinking...
Awesome.
Okay.
I read that somewhere.
Good for you.
I'd read that somewhere here, right?
Maybe. Yeah. That's my book. That's a whole different book that I've written. That's great. So it's like, no, there's no option. Give me a night, black dress.
It's on.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And the rest, they say, was history. So then it's not the Forest Service, but the Foreign Service. So what's that? What's that?
It's the diplomatic corps. So everyone in the rest of the world says that
it's just a bunch of people being really nice to everyone.
Diplomats go around.
I don't want to hurt
fighting.
Your feelings. We're in a foreign country. That's okay to say foreign.
We're on the brink of war, but let's talk it out.
Yeah.
So
no
we worked for the State Department, which is the diplomatic corps, the Foreign Service, and we lived in a couple of countries, Costa Rica.
Uh-huh, beautiful.
Emily did some gorgeous place. Emily did some work in Guatemala. I did some work in Colombia. We went to my homeland of Armenia, where my peeps are from.
That's where you're actually from?
Half my ancestors come from Armenia.
The other ones are from Salem, Utah.
Exactly. Actually, I've got some pioneer stock in me. And after that, we went to D.C. We had a stint in D.C., and we went to Ecuador. And so we had a chance to do a couple of hemispheres. And it was great. Church, big and small, mostly small where we were.
Yeah.
Microscopic in some places.
Right.
But we got to live and love, as they say.
Was it fun being the white couple in the ward? Because I would imagine that's kind of how it is, right? Oh, it's the white states couple in the ward, right?
Yeah. Tall. I was usually a solid foot and a half taller than anybody else in the ward, usually.
But what were the experiences? I would imagine they probably put you to work pretty quick where you had this...
Yeah,
you know, legacy of the church.
You have a car, a pulse, and a temple recommend, and you therefore are doing
even
stuff.
Two.
You're doing
even
some
two
things,
out
so.
Of those three, and you've got like four callings.
But it was
instantly.
You know, it was funny. We learned a lot of things about the church, but the basic thing, and this sounds so cliche because it just is,
mm-hmm.
is that every ward has that guy or that gal that's the person that takes care of, quote unquote, everybody else. The outliers, the people who at first glance you think, oh, who are they? Do they have any friends? There's always that one person that takes care of everybody. And that's just a trait that I think is a good human trait. It's a great trait about Mormons everywhere. And we saw that in like the three-person branches and in the bigger wards. It's nice to know that that's not just something that you had in your big ward in the States. It's something that lives everywhere in the church.
And there were branches even as small as three people, really?
Yeah, sure.
Little ones, yeah.
Tiny ones where people would just, you know, trek through. Again, this sounds cliche, but people would trek through the snow in Armenia to get to the church so they could sit in a cold room with their coats off. You didn't take your coats off for any of the blocks. And the senior missionaries for us, I think speaking for both of us, the senior missionaries in Armenia taught us that's the reason that people got through the plains. I mean, that's the reason that the pioneers made it. Because we come from a stock like that where these people, they had better things to do than hang out in a post-Soviet country in the winter and preach the gospel to people who didn't care.
Trying to make chicken broccoli casserole. With like trying to figure out a substitute for cream of chicken soup in Armenia. I mean, really amazing people. They really are.
Is the church very big? I had a friend who actually, when they opened up the Armenian mission, he was one of the first missionaries in. I got called to Cleveland. He got called to Armenia. Very similar.
Yes.
But is the church very big there now? I mean, that's been 12 years, I think.
So growing. There were 7 branches when we were there. Uh-huh. And it's growing. And what was exciting was that the first missionaries to have gone from Armenia somewhere, anywhere, mm-hmm. were coming back. So they're at that point in their in the evolution of the church, where now you have people coming back who are bringing experiences from Russia or from Europe or from the States.
Or Ogden.
And they were. They were literally. And that didn't always mean that they had seen. This. What I love is the ones who came back from Ogden weren't always seeing how it is, quote, supposed to be done.
Uh-huh.
They didn't come back with that. They came back with, that's just a different way it's done.
Good.
And we definitely got that message from them when they came back. So it's growing, exciting to see in a place like that. And, you know, again, for me, the image of people who go to church and won't take their coats off because they can't is a huge reminder of how lucky we are to be able to worship.
Emily, before we go take a break for the third block, share your favorite experience of kind of the traveling around in the different wards and branches, or a favorite experience.
On the spot. I'll share one, and this is an early experience, because I think when you are dealing with people who are pioneers really in their country, because not only because they're members of the church, but because they are setting the example for sort of generations to come. One of our favorite memories when we were living in Costa Rica, and this was on the heels of the big Hurricane Mitch that happened in Central America in the late 90s. The ward that we were living in at the time, which was quite a small ward, it met in a very humble little building up on the hill, and they loved to really do a huge celebration for Mother's Day. And Aaron and I thought, oh, you know, how great could this really be? It's going to be a dinner. There's going to be beans and rice and chicken, just like there is at all of our ward activities. Well, we were really embarrassed because we helped make beans and rice, and we helped make chicken and sort of do our part. And we show up to the chapel. All the men are dressed up in their best suits. They have decorated this place with more white lights than I think the country could hold. It was beautiful. They had fresh flowers, tablecloths. They had really put their hearts and souls into this. And I think it was that moment where you realized, you know, I don't have it all figured out. We don't do it the best where we do it. That this is their way, and a beautiful way of doing something special to honor these women, and to realize that they really understand how much these women serve and how hard they work. And, you know, it just, for me, it was one of those. And then there was a dance, of course, because it's Latin America, it's Central America. There was a dance. And it was, I think, one of the most fun church activities that Aaron and I have ever been to in any country in the world. It was just great.
All right, well, cool. Coming back in the third block, I want to talk to you guys a little bit more about that, traveling around. And then I just want to talk about how you do it. I think that that's fascinating. So we'll get back into that in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Want to make shopping for your loved ones easy this year? Make gift-giving meaningful and hassle-free with LDSBookstore.com. LDSBookstore.com has something for everyone on your list, including CTR rings, modest clothing, cookbooks, scripture cases, and other LDS products. Personalize your gifts by engraving a name, scripture, or mission date on a CTR ring, maybe embossing a name on a set of scriptures, or even add your family name to a custom temple picture, all online. Our secure website makes shopping from the comfort of your own home easy, affordable, and convenient. Find everything you need for Christmas this year at LDSBookstore.com. Be sure to use coupon code RADIO for free shipping on LDSBookstore.com today.
It's the third block of the Cultural Hall. Joining me is Molly Mormon.
Hi.
She's the biggest Ebb in the world.
I love you guys so much.
That was something from the break that doesn't make any sense on this podcast, and I'm not going to explain it. Wonder about how Molly might be the biggest Ebb. And then also Aaron and Emily Sherinian. Sorry that I didn't go the other way, but alphabetical is how I like to introduce people. And welcome to the Cultural Hall. You guys having a good time so far?
Thank you. Love it.
A blast. Yes?
Most fun you can have in the Valley.
Now, you are absolutely correct on that statement. But you guys said or at least it sounded like you had listened to at least an episode of the Cultural Hall.
Yes, I think we're still in your parlance converts, if you will.
Yes.
But yes, we have heard some bits and pieces.
And
love it.
Good.
We giggled.
We laughed.
We cried.
It was better than cats.
It was better than cats.
I love you
been
guys.
Been married too long because we're starting to use our own quips.
So please put that on the site. Better than cats.
So, and then I am going to paint a little word picture for you here. So we were on a plane coming in and we were listening to the last podcast because we have seen bits and pieces. And we are that couple right now where we're confident enough in our love, where we actually, if there's a chance to have two aisle seats, we'll take it.
Oh,
we
really?
Do not have to sit next to each other.
Really?
So we have the earphones going between, and everybody's thinking, what is so vital that they're listening to right now and laughing about? We were laughing at you.
Oh,
there you go, on the plane.
Not at you, with you.
Well, I look forward to the day when you're a lifer, and that we might sit down and break bread again in the future.
We will, and we shall.
So tell me real quick, what are you doing in town?
I am here because BYU is having homecoming.
Mm-hmm. And you're just a huge fan of
dancing. Oh, huge.
You heard how much they love dancing.
Uh-huh. And there's going to be rice, beans, white lights, and dancing. Yay. It's going to happen.
There's going to be mint brownies.
I'm a big mint brownie fan.
That's worth flying from New York.
And we have in the past. People have flown them back and forth to us in the past. So we love BYU. We love, and I don't know if we're going to go there. Maybe we'll go there. We were both at a certain point a little reluctant about the BYU experience. Uh-huh. We both had gotten into some other schools that you pronounce like this.
Very
East Coast. Very East Coast.
Which is a great thing. And for whatever reason, we both found our way to BYU.
For whatever reason?
And, although we did not meet there.
I know.
And it was a great
thing. But I want to make it very clear that we did not meet at BYU.
Or on our mission.
Yes.
So we love BYU. We're here for homecoming. They've asked us to come and be part of the homecoming thing.
How come?
I think you need to stop. I think we need to brag on Aaron a little bit.
I'm going to be speaking as the humanities alumnus for this year's homecoming.
What does that mean?
That means every college brings in somebody to talk about their experiences and to blah, 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 and have a speech, and then they have the parade and the whole deal. So this year I'll be doing it for the Humanities College.
Cool.
So he has been awarded the Distinguished Alumni Achievement Award or something like that? Some combination of those words.
But people call him distinguished.
Yeah. Hottie, one of those things.
But it's gonna be a lot of fun. We're the ones who, because we don't we're not here every Thanksgiving and Christmas. Our parents don't live in Utah.
Uh-huh.
We get a little bit giddy every time we're back. And we love it. We love being back here. We love visiting the old places that were our old haunts, seeing how everything has changed, the you know, cliche mint brownies. But also we have a lot of people here that we love. We have friends who are here, and so it's always a good time to be
back. And the Cultural Hall, of course.
Of course.
Of course. What are you laughing at, Molly?
Nothing. Okay, nothing. Good. I know it's true.
Yeah, I also know that it's true.
Girl, you know it's true.
We going there, really? Yeah. Under 40?
I had to.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Barely. Barely. That hurt. Good girl.
So you're back in town. You're distinguished, which I think is awesome. But how in the world, let me ask you this, you guys have kids, right?
Yeah.
Three.
Kids plural, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And you do all this.
We do.
... question mark.
Spill it.
Okay, so some of my secrets. I do not have a super clean house.
Uh-huh.
It's not cluttered, but it is not immaculate. We get help from people. I don't iron. I have a terrific husband who works really, really hard and a lot of hours, too. And so I think we don't get as much sleep as we probably should. I think that's another secret that most people with kids and, you know, passions that they are really interested in and jobs that they really love, you just don't sleep as much as you may want to.
Mm-hmm.
So when people said, ooh, what are you going to do on vacation? I say sleep and eat.
Yeah.
Things that I don't get to do enough in my daily life. But I mean, fill in here, Aaron.
We have great kids. We were terrified that we were going to have these really boring kids. I won't say introverted, because introvert and extrovert both are great. Mm-hmm. We happen to be extroverts. But
I didn't know that.
Shocking, I know.
We were worried we were going to have these boring kids. And I have to say, our kids are great. They put up with a lot of stuff that we do. And the other thing is we've learned to use the network of just all of us. You know, when someone says, can I pick up your kids for scouts, or can I pick up your kids for the activity, or she's out at Young Women's and I'm on a plane to somewhere weird and we're all, you know, doing different things. We've learned that you say yes.
Which is hard for a Mormon.
And it's hard for people who are taught you're supposed to have it all and you're supposed to do it all.
Self-reliant, pal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they didn't, you know, the handcart companies, they came
No, it was one
together,
person,
right?
one handcart.
Are you still back there?
Yeah, okay. I got this. Yeah.
No, it's fine. I got this handcart thing.
That was one of the things that I thought was so interesting in your I'm a Mormon video, where it's like, and sometimes we enjoy a movie. And it's like, yeah, I mean, between everything it seems like you're doing, it's like, sometimes I bet it's like, hey,
So I'm
going to
go
we
ahead.
Sit?
I'm going to go ahead and out like the I'm a Mormon people because we had so much fun doing it. It was a surprise for both of us. I think both in what it meant for it was a testimony builder. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you about the crew. The crew was so great. The piece that they never showed in the movie was that for 48 hours, all we were trying to do was pick up the dry cleaning.
Really?
And they've got all that footage somewhere. We couldn't figure out a time to pick up the dry cleaning. They were with us all day for days. And you know what? At the end of it all, we couldn't get it. We didn't have any dry cleaning that week because we just couldn't pick it up. And they've got that on film that some weeks, you're just not going to get there. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get everything done. So kids were fed. I think they had on clothes. They got probably the standard bath for the week. But that was it.
It's lineup.
Garden host. Couple of nights. Yeah. It. Power wash.
Yeah. Get it
does
all
wonders.
Done.
Yeah.
How does one get selected to do that? How did that go about? Did someone is it a nomination process?
No. Or? I think people were looking for people. And
we're the luckiest people in all the world. People who need people.
No, I think it was sort of friend of a friend of a friend. It was early days of this I'm a Mormon thing. Uh-huh. And I think somebody said, hey, we know some people who are crazy and won't break your cameras.
Yet. So I'll never forget, I was in Europe when they came out and Emily called and said, remember that video that they did? You're going to want to check the website because it's out. And
we started getting calls. Really? Oh, my dad was at a mission president's conference and he saw a video and I'm pretty sure it was you. And we're thinking, we didn't know that went live.
But this is a great time for the church. They've done something. They've given us all the chance to be proud of who we are and real about who we are. And it was not easy because I'll be honest, because we were the first tranche, it hurt to have people from inside sometimes our community and outside take issue with some things that we're doing and have their
like what?
Issues.
What do they take issue with?
Issues that maybe are controversial for them or that are problems that they have and say, hey, you've identified yourself as a Mormon. I have a problem with you because I think you hate my son because he's made different choices in his life. Or I think you hate all these people in this place. Or how dare you make those decisions for your life? A good Mormon boy would be, you know, at home with his kids at 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever it was. So putting yourself out there was a test for us. It was also a test of the fact that sometimes people, when they accuse you of something, are really exposing that they're grappling with something inside. And so not to take any of that personally, but to see what's actually behind it.
Yeah, well, another thing that we found really fascinating from that experience was the amount of people who want to connect with you after seeing just that brief, you know, sampler really from your life. And I always joke that, you know, for a minute and 38 seconds, anybody can look good.
Yeah, not me, but most people.
Yeah, no, yeah. Really,
no,
anyone.
No, I couldn't, I've tried. 47 seconds, and then I go down south real quick.
But on, you know, but your voice.
Yeah, but that 47 seconds, woo!
So, you know, people really do want to connect, I think, and I'm sure Molly Mormon can attest to this, that whole virtual world where people are seeking connection, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you combine the small world of Mormons and the small world of social media, it's not that uncommon to come across people. Yeah. I wrote a post on theculturalhall.com
about
I know, check it out, about, you know, finding Mormons elsewhere. And so my question for you guys is, how often do you, you know, when you're out and you're traveling the planet, literally, do you have people come up to you and you just make that connection? Because I know when I met Aaron in Park City and he gave his presentation, it was so moving and so wonderful. But there were things that he said and that he did that I was like, yeah, you're a Mormon.
Yeah, Modar.
Yep.
Modar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, sure. I knew. And so, like, how often does that happen? And is it important for you to make connections, when you're around the planet? Within the church.
So there's an app. It's called Chapel Finder or Meeting House Finder or something. It's not, I don't think it's an official app. It's one of my favorites. You didn't ask me what my favorite app was, but I'm answering that question, Molly.
Dang it. Now I can't ask that later.
I love it because it is my favorite thing to do. And sometimes there are people who say, oh, you know, it's so irritating when people just drop in or drop out. I learn something every single time, and I know that we're on a podcast, so you don't do things like this, but I'm pulling out of my wallet a picture that a kid drew for me in Bangalore, India.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sitting next to a family, mom has all these kids. They're all dressed in what they would be wearing in Bangalore, India, so you know you're not in, you know, I'm not in Kansas anymore. Having this beautiful testimony meeting, I'm helping this mom take care of her kids while she took one of the kids out. He draws me this picture and gives it to me, and it's just that there's the gospel that brings you together, there's truth that brings you together, but there's something about people who say, I just met you, I know a lot about you already. Mm-hmm. And that connection is one of the best things I have in my life.
My favorite story, I think, just, you know, you realize how small the world is and why you need to be nice. I was in Uganda for work a couple of years ago, and I went to church on Sunday, as we are both wont to do whenever we're traveling.
I love it.
We do
just
that.
In case the bishop's listening.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I absolutely love it. I insist on it, and it drives my family crazy.
Yeah, no, we always go. And we change our schedule. Everybody has to sort of do these backflips, but we make it happen. And there was, it was a relatively small ward. So I think I sort of went through the rounds and met just about everyone there. I turned around in the middle of Sunday school, and there was another guy who obviously was not Ugandan. So I, after Sunday school ended, went and chatted with him. And he was there for work, and I asked him where he was from. And he said, oh, I'm from Mesa, Arizona. And I said, oh, you know, a lot of Mormons there. And he said, yes, and I'm one too. And I said, oh, yeah, I have a brother who lives there. And we laughed and parted ways. And then later I bumped into him, and it turned out he was staying at the same hotel. So the next morning I wake up and I get online, and my brother says, so I hear you ran into my home teacher in Uganda yesterday. And I'm thinking, what are the odds of that?
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, I think going to church has its benefits for so many things, but, you know, especially good when you get to meet your brother's home teacher.
Yeah.
But, you know, what a great connection.
Did
and
you
what
ask
a great
if your brother was saying his prayers and how his church attendance
he
was?
He was in the bishopric at the time. I'm assuming so he was. Right. I'm hoping right. so. But, you know, another interesting bit about this I'm a Mormon thing is that, you know, we assume that anybody who's, for example, coming in to interview with us at work or, you know, apply for a position on our team or anybody that's meeting with us has Googled us and knows exactly who we are.
Mm.
And that, for us, I think we realize that raises the bar for us.
Absolutely.
You know, we need to make sure that we are embodying and sort of walking the talk. So I think it's actually been a great experience, and it's raised us up a little bit.
I'm starting to hear noise from the other room, so I know that we're going to start to hear some singing here in the background. So I want to get to the questions that we ask everyone. First of all, do you guys have callings in your ward right now?
Do we do? Of course.
What are they?
Do we ever?
What's your calling?
So, young women's president, brand new.
There
I'm a
it
rookie.
Is. There it is.
Yeah.
High priest group assistant, brand new as of 2 weeks.
Is your job to just poke him so he stays awake?
He is so awake. Yeah, that's not the issue. Although I am the youngest in the group, so I've been told, and I'm not that young.
I think by a long shot, too.
If you could pick a calling, what calling would you pick for yourself?
Easy seminary.
Yeah?
It was the most horrifying year of my life, best thing ever.
Oh, early morning, too, right?
Yeah, horrible, wonderful. And the only time I can ever say those two words and mean them.
What did you
that
teach
much.
That year?
Book of Mormon.
Okay, cool.
So cool.
Yeah. And it was the year that, of course, I did 3 years. I didn't do my fourth because I was too good for it. I was student body president.
Course,
I was popular.
He was very busy.
And I didn't have the time for it. And so, as with all things, the Lord says, you'll finish that year.
Yeah, we'll get that
yeah,
done.
Yeah, you're gonna do it.
What about you, Emily? What would you pick?
You know, I have to say, and this is going to sound cheesy, I am in the perfect calling right now. I was in Relief Society my entire life.
Yeah,
literally.
Not perfect.
Went to BYU, straight into Relief Society, never left, all over the world, Relief Society, Relief Society, brief stint, primary chorister, and then just bang.
Hmm.
So I am loving being in the Young Women. It's so much fun, and we have a terrific group. Shout out, girls.
Yeah, what's up, girls?
Hey.
Holla from the hall.
They're amazing.
Now, climb up on the Ramyumptum and tell people where they can find you.
Go for it.
Facebook or websites, those things.
So I blog at globalextrovert.com, globalextrovert.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at @ashirinian. And we're on that I'm a Mormon video. So we're on Mormon.org, right? We can say that.
Yes.
You're on Pinterest.
We're there.
All over the place.
I'm a Pinterester.
Are you an Instagrammer?
I don't know if I'm Pinteresting.
He's an Instagrammer.
Does no one say that yet? Are you Pinteresting, Molly?
Yeah. That's very Pinteresting.
I find you quite Pinteresting.
That's very Pinteresting.
I'm bored.
Ma'am?
I am way less connected than my illustrious husband, but I can be found on Facebook. I can be found ironing clothes.
Yeah. But not at the dry cleaner within that 48-hour period.
Yeah, you just told everyone you don't iron.
Oh, I don't, but that was a lie because I just went part-time, so I started ironing. Shh, don't tell.
Part-time ironing or part-time working?
Yes. Part-time working and part-time ironing. It's been a shift.
Now tell me your favorite part of your faith. We'll go Emily first and then you, Aaron.
I thought you were going to ask me about my wife. Can we switch it tonight? Can I tell you what my favorite part of my wife's faith is? Are we allowed?
Sure.
Sure, let's mix it up.
Yeah, let's do that.
You make the rules. It's not me. It's just your thing.
It's just your show. Why should you make the rules?
My favorite thing about my wife's testimony that I've learned the most about is that Emily always talks about how we live in a gospel of action, and we're not in just a gospel of thinking, where it's a gospel event for every time I hear her talk about the Savior and the action and making it happen. That's my favorite part of her faith that is helping to build my faith. It's not, we don't sit around and talk about it. We sit around to talk about it and then do it.
I'm pretty sure that Aaron wanted to go first so that he could steal mine.
Yeah. So, repeat it already. Go. Yes. Verbatim.
No, I was going to say, Aaron grew up in a situation where his father was not a member, but his mother was. But
how was that?
A family scripture. What was your family scripture? How was it?
It was great because I think my dad is the greatest example of the priesthood. He doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Claims he never will. I think he will. But I think he embodied it. And I was just really, I was blessed to be in a house where he said, I'm not a member of your church, but please go on a mission.
Hmm. Okay, now, sorry. Favorite family scripture?
No, so the thing that I thought was so great about their family that even though the priesthood wasn't necessarily in their home, their family scripture was Mosiah 2:17. When you're in service of your fellow beings, you're only in service of your God. And Aaron's family takes that very seriously. They are people of service. And I've been thinking about that a lot. I taught a lesson about it in Young Women's a couple of weeks ago. And
part of the new curriculum, of course.
Not yet. That's starting soon. And I'm a little, Godhead is January.
Yay. Is that going to be different?
Very different, but exciting. So I think people being the Lord's hands on the earth is one of the most beautiful things there is, and Aaron and his family really do that. I admire it.
I hope to, by the time I die, obtain and do all the things that you've done at this point in your life, and then I can catch up with the second part of your life when I'm dead and working in that lower kingdom. You know what I'm saying? I'll be like, I wanted to get there. I wanted to get there, you guys. Come visit me.
You'll have to come down and visit us, I think is what's going to happen.
Thank you so much. I know that you guys, like we said at the very beginning, they literally came from airport to backstage theater, and now they're going to go have a chance to sleep and be like, oh, hey, who are you? Oh, we're in the same place, and we don't have millions of kids and millions of things to do. So
let's tune in and listen to the cultural hall is what we'll say.
You stop it. We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that when the time comes, you will travel home in safety.
And we ask that these refreshments be blessed. I don't know.
Bless the sugar.
Bless the sugar out of all this crap.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
And in the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back.